Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
From the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about life and money. We are reclaiming stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Anything you hear about in this broadcast, you can find at Chris Recommends, again, at stewardship.com. Give us a ring at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283 or Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. We're taking your emails at Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. So I don't know if you guys saw this article or not, but it's entitled The Inspiring Story of the Worst Market Timer Ever. And it is at CNBC.com. It published on August 27th, and it's by Alex Rosenberg. And this guy, Ben Carlson, who is an institutional portfolio manager and financial writer, kind of put together a synopsis of this fictitious investor who invested money into the stock market at the four worst times ever in history. 1973, right before a 48% decrease in the stock market. 1987, right before a 34% decrease in the stock market. 2000 and 2007, with over a 50% decrease in the stock market right after investing. The four worst times ever to invest. And so he put this together. What would happen if we were to do that? We were to invest the four worst times ever and keep our money in there. So that's the key elements, okay? The worst timing ever, but then keep your money in there. And this, I'm really bringing this up because I want to encourage you to keep your money in the stock market. Many of you are trying, you're just trying as hard as you can not to pull out. I'm telling you, stay in the long term. Here's what happened to this fictitious investor, okay? This is not actually a person who did this, but he put this together and formulated it for us. So he invested a total of $184,000 during those 4 years. And 40 years later, that grew to, get a load of this, $1.16 million. The worst time ever, 40 years later, and still got $1.16 million, $980,000 in profit. So that's a 9% return on a non-weighted basis. So again, don't take your money out. You want to make sure you keep your money in, and you want to make sure that you stay as diversified as possible. You want to continue to invest in the stock market into mutual funds, spreading it all out, and do it in the long term. Do not pull out. Our first call comes in from Tallahassee. This is Dan. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How about you?
Oh, I'm better every day, my friend. How can I serve you?
Well, I have a question for you, Chris. Me and my wife both currently work for the state of Florida, and where we are contributing 3% of our checks into this pension plan. And my question to you is, I know being a follower of Dave's Baby Steps, when we get to Baby Step 4, we're on, you know, you contribute to a 401k or outside investing. Do we just put the additional 12% in, say, a Roth IRA since we already have a defined benefit with the state of Florida?
Yes, you want to continue to invest. Yes and no. Yes, you want to do 15%, not 12. You still want to invest 15 in what comes into your hands. How old are you, Dan?
I'm 28, sir.
Okay, 28. And how much do you have in there so far?
We just both started with the state about a year ago. But we don't have any debt except for a mortgage, and we're looking to put in on top of what we already contribute at 3% for the state. But we're looking to put in anywhere between $5 to $1,000, $500 to $1,000, starting in January.
Okay, let me tell you. I mean, this is technically your pension's not really a retirement instrument. It's more of a kind of a defined benefit. It's really, in a sense, kind of deferred compensation. You're just getting paid something later. What I don't like about it, there's nothing wrong with the pension at all, but what I like, you kind of lose control in a pension, and I would like you to have 15% that you're contributing towards that you have control over, that could be passed to the next generation. So that's the whole thing. Yeah. Like if that company goes bankrupt, or let's say that you die early, it doesn't transfer over to your loved ones. So that's what, just be careful about that. So for me, I think I would still do 15% outside of it, and the 3% on your pension would just be gravy. But awesome. But yeah, I think you just keep in mind Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You just got to make sure they're going to get it, right? So I love that you're asking the question. In this season of your life, I love the fact that you're thinking about the future. This is a time where you guys are going to be generating more and more income, and you don't have a ton of expenses yet. So thinking about the future is huge, and that's your biggest asset. That's what you got going for you. So great question, Dan. We appreciate the call.
I appreciate you and your ministry, brother. You're a blessing to us all.
Oh, thank you, Dan. Have a good day.
Yes, sir.
We got a call coming in from Seattle. This is Deborah. Deborah, how can I help you?
I appreciate your time. And so here, my question is this. I'll get right to it.
Okay.
My brothers and I are trying to help our parents. My parents lost pretty much everything at the end of 2008 in the housing market crash. They tried to develop their property that they owned, which was to be their retirement. And through that and through some poor decisions with credit card debt, they put some of the development costs on their personal credit cards, didn't protect their home. So they just lost everything. They're 80. They're living on Social Security. They now live with my brother, but they are still paying off credit card debt that they have carried from that time. As far as I know, two different credit cards with the amount of possibly as much as $24,000.
Okay. Is that our only debt?
Yes, they don't have anything else. They're living on their Social Security. It's my mother and my dad.
How much is the Social Security? What's their income? What are they living off of?
About $1,800 a month, I think.
Has it been enough for living expenses?
Yes, as long as they're not paying rent. My brother has wanted, the condition that they moved in there was to be able to live there to save some money, get out of this situation, and get their own space. And they can't do that with...
Right.
Still paying the credit cards. They have not wanted to declare bankruptcy, but this is just burying them. They can't do anything else by paying the credit cards.
So out of the $1,800, how much is that going towards credit cards?
I think about $1,200.
Oh, snap. So do they have any assets or anything they can sell?
They have their one remaining asset, which was my mother's cello from her concert cellist days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to bring in a lot less than we thought, maybe as much as $10,000. Don't know for sure. That we would have to go to auction.
Okay. The $24,000 in credit card debt, is it two credit cards or is it like seven?
No, it's two and it might be three. I'm not sure.
Okay. But the $10,000 on the cello, would it take care of at least one of them?
She said that there's $20,000 on one and so be another $4,000 to $7,000. I can't get a straight story out of her because they're 80. They keep, you know...
Yeah, I totally get that. I'm guessing they don't have anything invested.
Nothing. They have nothing.
Okay, so really we're talking about a very, very small part of the problem. The problem is they're 80, and regardless if we clean this up, there's still going to be some kind of dependency going on.
I suspect as much, yes.
Because $1,800 a month, anything that pops up, they're going to be in trouble again. So I typically don't like selling things that mean a lot, like things like that. I don't usually like that. It all depends on how important that cello is to her and to your family.
She's released it to sell. Mm-hmm. The other issue that they have is they're still driving. They're still able to drive, and their car has 200-some thousand miles on it.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's where the issues are going to happen. You guys are going to get sucked into that one, too.
Yep.
And I don't mean sucked into it like super negative. I think there's actually a pretty cool, you know, cyclical triumphant story of the siblings being able to come back around and be able to take care of mom and dad in older
Absolutely.
Age. So it's, I don't think necessarily that to feel the responsibility and the weight of it, but there's something cool about, you know, being there for your parents. So I don't hear that your brother is brutally frustrated or, but not happy either.
Yeah, it's his wife that's more frail. It's just, you know, they're in each other's space, and particularly,
yeah.
You know, it's just difficult. And the problem that I'm running into as the daughter and the only daughter mm-hmm. is that my husband's frustrated with all the poor decision-making that we haven't been involved in.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if they're not being upfront with us about mm-hmm. the credit cards.
Well, I do think, you know, when you open up your home and allow them to stay in your house for a period of time, it's not crazy to ask them for 100% transparency, to ask mm-hmm. for the actual statements. You know, your brother can do that. I think he needs to start asking questions, you know, and he's got to ask himself, if they can't afford an apartment, is it worth it to him to help them find an apartment or to help them with their debt? If it's causing that much of a wedge in the relationship with his wife, because here's the deal. If you try to get, Dr. Henry Cloud taught me this recently. If you try to get a pen to write, but it has no ink in it, it's not going to write. So quit trying to get a pen to write that doesn't have ink in it. And so they don't have the money. And even all they sold everything that's worth anything, they're still only going to pay off less than half of their debt. If they can't do it, they can't do it. However, if they can still drive, they can go work somewhere. I like them doing some kind of impact work and low impact work. And I do think that work actually is good for them if they go out and serve the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely a sticky situation. I think, so to wrap up the conversation, number one, there needs to be more transparency. Number two, whatever the fire, the motivation, that needs to be amped up a little bit in a very healthy way, not in a, you know, a brutal way, but still respectful, but just amp the intensity up a little bit. Your brother is sacrificing, so they need to sacrifice something. And if that means selling the cello, that at least shows some movement on their side as well.
Yeah,
but I think I wouldn't tell them to just go find a job. They probably don't know the market very well. They've been kind of removed a little bit. They're going to need some help doing that. So, I don't know how many people are going to hire someone who's 80. So you've got to be really, you got to be really careful with that. I mean, maybe it's something that you get the job, they do it, whatever it is. Something you can do out of the home off the website. It's going to take some training, obviously.
But the
biggest thing you guys need is, you know, I want you not to feel guilt about this. So I want to give you a book. It's called Boundaries by my friend, Dr. Henry Cloud. It talks all about this, how to navigate through how much is in, you know, too much, where are the boundaries? And you guys could really use that. So I want to send that to you for free. Okay.
That's very kind. Thank you. Thank you for your time, Chris.
All right. Thank you. Well, buying or selling a house isn't something many of us have experience doing. That's why most people get help from a real estate agent. But do you know where to find a top agent you can trust? Endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher. As you guys know, we have our ELPs that provide help when it comes to real estate and when it comes to major decisions like that, when it comes to real estate. So I don't know if you're in that season right now, buying and selling a house. I mean, it's not something that many of us have experience doing. That's why, you know, most people get help from a real estate agent. I want to make sure you guys know where you can get an agent that you can trust. Our endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher. They have more experience than the average real estate agent, and they put customer service before their commission. You can find your ELP today at stewardship.com. You don't have to do this alone. Find someone you can trust at stewardship.com.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Remember, folks, the phone lines are open. Feel free to call 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Folks, I don't know if you've engaged yet on social media, but I'd love to connect with you there. I'm Chris Brown on Air on Instagram, on Twitter, and on Facebook. Again, that's Chris Brown on Air. Charlene emails in. She says, I love your show and listen to your podcast whenever I can. I've learned so much and appreciate your biblical perspective and your wisdom. Our 19-year-old daughter is in her fourth semester of tech college and has been blessed with scholarships and financial aid and doesn't owe a dime. Boom. Love it. She'll be transferring next semester to get a bachelor's and possibly a master's. She works while attending school and is an A student. We are not interested in co-signing a student loan for her next 4 to 6 semesters, as we've worked so hard on becoming debt-free. She will receive some scholarship and some aid, but not enough to cover the full cost. She is going to live at home for 2 more years to keep the cost down. Being a full-time student, she will not be able to earn enough to get her through, and she doesn't want to have a lapse in her education. How should we advise her? Well, two things come to my mind. One is possibly a cheaper school. Possibly the school is too expensive. And for somebody who now has been in the workforce for 15, 16 years, nobody's really even cared about where my degree was from. Not every industry is like that. But for me, it's been more about who I am and how I interview and my experience and my tenacity and my passion and my likability and my enthusiasm. Has been way more important than where I went to school. So maybe a cheaper school, but that's not necessarily true in every industry. The second thing that comes to my mind is, let's take your last sentence of this email and let's plug in any other luxury. Okay, so let's go ahead. Being a full-time student, she will not be able to earn enough to get her through, and she doesn't want to have a lapse in her education. Okay, she doesn't want to have a lapse in her... Let's just plug in. She wants to make sure she still gets a car. Okay. So again, being a full-time student, she will not be able to earn enough to get her through, and she still wants her car. She still wants this nice car. How would you advise her? The bottom line is education is still another luxury. This college education, it is not something that we have a right to, that we have to have. It is a luxury. And so I know she doesn't want to have to work too much. I know she doesn't want to have a lapse in her education, but sometimes you just have to say no. There's some things you just can't afford. I know you don't want a lapse in the education. You've got this momentum rolling. I totally get it, but you're just going to have to. You're going to have to be patient. You have to work a little bit more, or you're going to have to maybe forfeit and maybe get a B in something. Something's going to have to give, or you're going to have to wait until you can do it and get an A. But something's got to go. Or you've got to compromise and you've got to borrow money, which we know that's not what the Bible wants, because the borrower is enslaved to the lender. So I don't know if I have a good answer for you here. She's already doing all the right things. She's amazing. She's a full-time student. She's working a little bit. She's staying at home. She's getting A's. She's doing it debt-free so far. She's doing great. Getting scholarships. I don't know what else to tell you, except for if there's not enough money, there's not enough money. Just like any other luxury. We're not guaranteed to have a college education when we want it and the way it needs to look. So, but good question, and congrats on doing it so well. You just might have to wait a semester. Next call comes in from West Palm Beach. This is Brittany. Brittany, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, I am better every day. How can I serve you?
My husband and I are trying to figure out where to allocate our income based on our debt, and my husband's starting school full-time in January. With the debt that we have, including a mortgage, what the best way to tackle it is.
All right. So how much debt do you have?
We have a mortgage. We just just closed on a house in October. So our mortgage is $220,000.
Okay.
And then in consumer debt, we have about $20,000. And then in student loans, before he starts school in January, we have about $40,000.
And please tell me he's not borrowing more to go to nursing school.
He is.
Oh.
My husband, yeah. So the challenge is my husband's 10 years older than me. This is his second career, and right now he's making $10 an hour. So to get ahead and make $28 to $30 an hour, he has to go through this school to basically get there. There is a chance that I might be, for lack of other ways of saying it, coming into some money in the next 6 months, about $8,000. So obviously I kind of know at that point what to do with that money if it works out. But if that doesn't happen or in the interim, where do I need to start first? Do I start with my consumer debt? Do I start with my student loans? do I put money in savings first? Do I take out money out of my 401k and pay off debt? Like, where do I, I'm kind of lost at this point. Where we begin?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of variables, and I can help you kind of streamline everything so you're not so overwhelmed. Let me just first of all say, I want to know that I said it out loud. I don't think he needs to go to nursing school until you can afford it. He can pay for it. So whether that's him doing two jobs, you doing two jobs, until you can save up, or he works a lot during school to pay for it in cash, I strongly encourage you not to do that. But here is the process of how you systematize this payoff. Number one is you got to have a written plan. You got to live on a budget every month. So every single dollar that comes in has a destination. It has, you know, exactly where it's going to go before the month even starts. And it needs to be accessible for both of you so you can look at it often. And it can be on paper or it can be digital.
We just started it. I forgot to mention that. We just started the Every Dollar app. I apologize.
Well, good. So if you have that written plan, if you didn't have that, the rest of everything else I say is going to be useless because you got to have a plan to be able to do what I'm about to say. Second of all, you need to have $1,000 in the bank. It's kind of like your, you know, flat tire fund. If something just, you know, so you're not charging any more credit if something happens, which we know in life it does. So $1,000 in the bank. Then from there, you're going to pay off your smallest debt first, regardless of what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. Your smallest debt first. Okay. And then regardless of interest rate. Okay. You got to start.
Got it. Okay.
And then the money you save when that's gone in your life, you take that amount of money that now you're not paying on it and you apply that to your next biggest debt and pay it off twice as fast. And so you want to keep doing that regardless of interest rate.
Got it.
Yep. And then the only time, like, you want to make sure that if you guys are like, the only thing is if you're going to be possibly that there's going to be some kind of safety issue or survival issue or something that affects your like dwelling or your food, you know, you would modify it to make sure that you survive during all of this. But that's really the general rule. It's called a debt snowball. It's something we teach in Financial Peace University, and that full entire course can be found on stewardship.com. Stewardship.com. And you know what I'm going to do, Brittany?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you Financial Peace University. It explains all of this in detail. It's a, now granted, can you promise me that you're going to go through it?
So it's funny. Yes. But it's funny you say that. I actually, I have a customer that's a church with my job, and I'm actually, I was talking to them about this, and they're actually starting Financial Peace at their church.
Oh, well, there you go.
That just happened today, so I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool. So we're going to mail you the kit, okay? So then when you go to the class at that church, then you have your kit already. You just have to jump in their class, and you won't have to buy a kit from then. We're just going to give it to you.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Okay, that'll walk you through it. My only warning is one of the first things you'll hear in that class is you need to push pause button on that nursing school.
Oh, that's so scary.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for the call. We wish you the best of luck. And check back in with us. Let us know how things are going. And we'll pick up from there.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks. Well, that wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship. That is so cool that we get to give away Financial Peace University. As you guys know, that is a curriculum and a program, I guess you can call it, that God has his hand on, that 4 million people have gone through that class, and pretty cool. Over $19 billion turnaround in their finances over the last 20 years. So God has done a lot, and love giving it away to eager people like Brittany there in West Palm Beach. Well, that wraps up Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to continue, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and for you podcast listeners, would you consider leaving a review on iTunes? Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, we're talking about what God says about money. He says quite a bit, 2,350 verses in the Bible about money and possessions. More about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out and check out Chris Recommends. Of course, let's stay in touch at Chris Brown On Air on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.